KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:03, it's mostly clear and 63 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high around 82. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. A Messina man was injured during an accident involving a car and dump truck Tuesday afternoon in Messina. According to the Cass County Sheriff's Office, 77-year-old George August Kuzel was transported by Messina Rescue to the Adams County Hospital following the crash that happened at around 12:30 p.m. Tuesday. Officials say Kuzel's 1993 Olds Cutlass was traveling southbound on 750th Street when it hit the rear of a 2005 International 7000 dump truck driven by 62-year-old Hollis Dodge of Creston. Damage from the accident amounted to $5,800. Kuzel was cited for following too closely. Three people were arrested on various charges in Montgomery County. The Sheriff's Department said 42-year-old Keith Allen Curran of Villisca was arrested just after 1 a.m. today in the 100 block of South 5th Street on a possession of drug paraphernalia charge. Curran was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $300 bond. Yesterday, deputies in Montgomery County arrested 31-year-old Bobby Joe Kent of Red Oak on a warrant for theft in the fifth degree and 32-year-old Cody Dean Franzen of Stanton on a warrant for contempt of court, illegal resistance to an order or process. Franzen was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond, while Kent's bond was set at $300. A judge in Pottawatomie County has given a suspended sentence to a woman who encouraged her son to fight another boy and then hit the other child when her son was being hit. The incident appeared in a video on the Internet. The Daily Nonpareil said 31-year-old Alicia Hazen of Council Bluffs was arrested in December on suspicion of felony child endangerment, serious assault, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor for her alleged involvement in a fight that took place at the Kreft Elementary School in November. She pled guilty on Tuesday to simple assault and aggravated misdemeanor child endangerment. The paper says 4th District Chief Judge Jeffrey Larson accepted Hazen's plea agreement in the case, but denied her request for a deferred judgment. A deferred judgment would have wiped the convictions off Hazen's record had she successfully completed probation. Larson ordered Hazen to serve a 2-year supervised probation and suspended the possible 25-month prison sentence. According to court records, Hazen followed her 13-year-old son from their residence to the school on November 19th and encouraged the boy to fight with a 12-year-old boy. Witnesses say Hazen yelled out instructions to her son to pull the other boy's hair and to punch him. They said that Hazen didn't attempt to break up the fight until her son was on the ground being struck in the face and head. And at that point, Hazen pulled the younger child off her son and punched the 12-year-old in the face. The Harlan Police Department reports two people were arrested on domestic abuse charges Sunday. 24-year-old Kane Griffith of Walnut was arrested after officers were called to the 1400 block of 8th Street in Harlan for a domestic disturbance. An investigation determined Griffith allegedly assaulted a Harlan woman. In addition to the assault charge, Griffith faces charges of obstruction of emergency communications and public intoxication. And 21-year-old Eric Davis of Harlan was arrested Sunday after a woman came to the police department to request an officer assist her in retrieving her belongings from the residence she shared with Davis. Officials say the woman had several visible injuries. Following an investigation, Davis was arrested and brought to the Shelby County Jail, where he was charged with assault and possession of a controlled substance, as well as possession of drug paraphernalia. A Harlan man was taken into custody last week on a warrant out of Cass County for felony forgery after he allegedly led police in Harlan on a brief foot pursuit. 29-year-old Gabriel Brown was arrested May the 9th and transported to the Cass County Jail by deputies of the Shelby County Sheriff's Department. Brown was being held in the Cass County Jail on $5,000 bond. Police in Harlan report also the arrest on Saturday of 21-year-old Alicia Buttrey of Macedonia. She was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia. And authorities are investigating in Harlan an incident of vandalism. A resident there reported on May the 6th someone broke the window out of his 2002 Ford Taurus. The incident remains under investigation and no arrests have been made. Elsewhere in the news, new records were set for high temperatures across Iowa Tuesday afternoon. Meteorologist Kenny Podrazik at the National Weather Service in Johnston says it was exceptionally hot across much of the state.
Northern Iowa and northwest Iowa were the winners. Mason City broke a record by 7 degrees. It reached 99. Des Moines and Waterloo also broke a record. Waterloo reached 96. Their previous record was 94, set in 1932, and Des Moines just barely broke it at 94.
Atlantic topped out at 97 degrees, beating the old record of 96 set in 1915. The Omaha Council Bluffs metro area reached 100 degrees for a new record high. Other records broken include Carroll at 102 degrees, Denison and Harlan hit 100 degrees, and Clarinda 93. Podrazik said a city in northwest Iowa was really scorching in the triple digits.
Looked like one of the biggest winners was Sioux City, Iowa, where it reached 106 degrees at 135 yesterday. So the previous record there was only 97 degrees set back in 2001, so it's pretty impressive.
Webster City also set a record of 98 yesterday, breaking the old record of 94 set in 1932. Tuesday was the first time this year the temperatures were in the 90s. Podrazik said another record will be set today, but it has nothing to do with temperatures, rather being tornado-free.
If we don't get any tornadoes today, which is very likely, we'll break that record streak of no tornadoes since May 24th of last year. So it'd be the longest streak on history with, as far as tornado records go.
Podrazik predicts temperatures today through the end of the week will be much cooler, peaking in the upper 70s. The Iowa Department of Transportation officials on Tuesday presented a new five-year plan to improve the state's roadways. John Ranney is director of the Iowa DOT's Office of Program Management.
For fiscal years 2014 through 2018, $2.6 billion is forecast to be available for highway right-of-way and construction activities.
The largest chunk of spending will be directed at ongoing maintenance to make Iowa's roads safer.
And more than $1.1 billion is programmed for years 14 through 18 to modernize Iowa's existing highway system.
A number of interstate improvement projects are also part of the five-year plan.
The highway section also includes significant interstate investments on Interstate 29 in Sioux City, interstate investments in Council Bluffs, and also on Interstate 74 in Bentendorf and Davenport.
A number of multi-year improvement projects that were previously scheduled are part of the five-year plan, but the Iowa Department of Transportation is not adding additional segments. Officials are blaming flat or uncertain revenue at the federal and state level, increasing construction costs, and the needs to invest in the existing highway system. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, a court in Las Vegas will hear from O.J. Simpson today as he fights for his freedom from a minimum 9-year sentence for the armed robbery and kidnapping of two sports memorabilia dealers. Simpson is arguing that he relied on an attorney who had a conflict of interest and who gave him bad advice. A jury in Phoenix heads back to court today to decide whether the death penalty should be an option for sentencing Jodi Arias. She was convicted in the stabbing and shooting death of her former boyfriend. A prosecutor will have to show that the murder was committed in an especially cruel and depraved manner. Both sides will call witnesses. The attorneys for a Cleveland man accused of keeping three women in captivity for about a decade say that he will plead not guilty. Attorneys Craig Weintraub and Jay Schlackett told a TV station that suspect Ariel Castro has been portrayed as a monster in the media, and after meeting with him yesterday, they don't see him that way. One of the lawyers said that Castro loves dearly the child he fathered with alleged kidnap victim Amanda Berry while she was in captivity. A Philadelphia abortion doctor convicted of killing three babies born alive at his clinic will be formally sentenced today in the death of one of those babies. Dr. Kermit Gusnell decided not to appeal the first-degree murder conviction, which was handed down Monday, and made a deal to avoid the death penalty. Instead, the 72-year-old physician will accept several terms of life without parole. And finally in the news, the House Judiciary Committee expects to hear today from Attorney General Eric Holder, who's likely to be asked about the targeting of conservative groups by the IRS, the government's handling of intelligence before the Boston bombings, and the Justice Department's gathering of phone records of the Associated Press. Holder has already said that allegations against the IRS are being investigated. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Troy Wheelock, age 51, of Anita, died Saturday at Caring Acres in Anita. Funeral services for Troy Wheelock will be today at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. Bertha Marie Kixmiller, age 89, of Avoca and formerly of Walnut, died Monday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Bertha Kixmiller will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home at Avoca has arrangements. Everett Shepard, age 62, of Stewart, died Sunday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Everett Shepard will be on Friday at 10 o'clock at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Joan Marie Hackwell Knuter, age 69, formerly of Anita, died May the 9th in Missouri. Memorial services for Joan Knutter will be held on Saturday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Oneida. Irene Mulhern, age 98, who's formerly of Greenfield, died Sunday in Wisconsin. Graveside services for Irene Mulhern will be on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Greenfield Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. And Lauren Matthews, age 88, of Oakland and formerly of Carson, died Tuesday at the Oakland Manor. Services for Lauren Matthews are pending at the Reagan Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. That is a check of the news here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.